If you have your Bibles, I have mine open once again to 1 John chapter 4, reading verses 12 through 16. And you see it on the projection there before you. Please give ear to the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him. I do pray the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. A couple of questions for you, for us, as we begin. Are you assured of your salvation in Jesus Christ? If Jesus returned today to take up his church and gather his people, would you be included in the congregation of the believers? If you died today, are you sure heaven would be your home for eternity? I do pray that all of you in this room would respond to those questions with a resounding, yes, I know. But I also must confess that there are those that I am sure, maybe not among us today, but there are those, when asked those questions, would say, well, I hope so. Or, I mean, I'm not a bad person. I haven't done anything incredibly bad. As I said, I do pray that all would answer yes, that heaven is mine because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. Assurance of salvation is one of those great gifts that the Holy Spirit brings to us. But how do you know? How do you know for sure? I've entitled the sermon, By This We Know. I'm speaking of assurance, the assurance of salvation. And this is the second time that John has spoken of assurance. And so this title, By This We Know, which is actually the beginning of verse 13. But what is the this? What is it that we can know? What is the evidence that we would see in our lives that would let us know, give us that affirmation, be that evidence of assurance that would lead me to answer yes to all of those questions I had asked previously? What is it? Well, that's what John has given us here in the text I've just read to you. Those elements, those things, those testimonies, those evidences that we can know of the assurance in our lives. Here, as I've said, John is going to give us this evidence. And if you read this letter, which I, you know, through Bible, you've read this letter. But if you also go to his Gospel of John, He refers to himself, but he also refers to the congregation reading the gospel, reading this letter. He refers to assurance many, many times. It's an element of his teaching almost repeatedly. Here in this book that we're studying now, just a few, back in chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "And by this we know that we have come to know him." Now, this word "know" in the Greek in the New Testament is a very, very intimate word, which I've given to you many times. It's not just a passing knowledge that I might have of someone on the street. It's a intimate, integrated, imputed knowledge of Jesus Christ. And John said, by this we know that we can come to know. In verse 5 of chapter 2, by this we know. Again, he says in chapter 5, which we'll do in a couple of weeks, I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. In John's mind, in our minds, in his mind, there is no ambiguity. There's no vagueness. It is a factual matter of which he is discussing. So these people that would answer that question about salvation, well, I hope so. John's point here in this portion of his writing is that we can be assured that God abides in us if we see his Spirit working in us, doing two things: causing us to love one another, as we spoke of last week, and secondly, confessing the truth about Jesus Christ, which we spoke of 2 weeks ago. So if we see these two evidences in our lives, my ability to love another, and also confessing the truth of Jesus Christ, the complete full truth of Jesus Christ, then I can rest assured that the Holy Spirit is here and my salvation is secure. Here in this passage, John is going to break this down and tells us how this works. Verse 12 again. He says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now, that word "perfected" means matured. It is perfect. It is mature. Not perfect without error, but our love, God in us, it is complete. It is matured. But he says, "No one has ever seen God." The unseen God who has, down through history, has revealed himself in the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said many, many times, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, now Jesus is gone. But now we can see God, know God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in his people. God is revealed by the Holy Spirit in the people of God. And this is the evidence we see when we love one another. Think about this. People do not see God. God is a spirit. If he were in spirit right here in front of us, you couldn't see him. He is a spirit. We see God only in the person of Jesus Christ. But we know God is it. God the Father exists. We know the Holy Spirit exists. But they cannot be seen physically. People do not see God. People may not read the Bible, but they do see and read the lives you and I live. They read Christians. They read this church. What does this church profess? What does this church believe? What does this church promote out into the community? What's our reputation out in the community? They read you as you interact with others at work and in school. Do you realize every time you walk into a room, God is there? God is there anyway. He's omnipresent. But by you coming into the room, you bring God into that room. Dr. Kick would teach us in pastoral counseling when we go visit people at home, go visit folks in the hospital room. As soon as I open that door and step in that room, God has just entered that room. Put that on your shoulders and carry it around. But that's true for you. as well. If they see a remarkable otherworldly love that cannot be explained, they see God abiding in you. If they see anger, bitterness, betrayal, verbal attacks, they see the darkness. They do not see the light of God's love shining out from your heart. So John's point here in verse 12 is that if we see God's love in our relationship, then we have an evidence of God abiding in us. And then therefore we can be assured. But please understand what I'm saying, what John is saying, more particularly, not Tim, what John is saying when he says love one another. Everybody. Our enemies. Remember, I said 3 weeks ago, Jesus washed Judas's feet. Love one another. And again, we cannot see God who is spirit, yet we can see the evidence of his abiding in us, in others, when we see this loving of another. Even those that you just don't want to. And this assurance comes knowing that we abide in God and he in us because he has given us his spirit. Now, go with me to verse 13. There's a very unique phraseology here I'd like to point out to you. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. He, God, has given us of his spirit. A very unique way to phrase that. Now, God has given us his spirit. In salvation, in redeeming, the Holy Spirit comes in and redeems. But that's not the particular point John is making here. He's saying when he gives us of his spirit, that of means out of and from within. And so we could say it this way. He, God, has given us of himself his spirit. We say that the Holy text, God's inerrant, infallible word, is an expiration of himself. Not an expiration as running out of date, but a breathing out of himself to create the Holy Scriptures. John is almost making, I would say is making, the very same point. That when we have redemption, he is giving out of his own self his spirit into us so that we are redeemed, and that is our guarantee. So again, as I say, when you walk into a room, you're taking God. Because he has given you of himself. The very essence of God now resides in we who believe. And our assurance of salvation is guaranteed by the presence of that Holy Spirit. The presence of that Spirit within us. In Romans 8, Paul writes, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God only dwells in those who have been redeemed. So those who have been redeemed, Paul is speaking to here. You no longer live in the flesh, but now you live in the Spirit. And given this miracle of the Spirit, we can then understand the first part of verse 13. If we back up to that, he said, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. Because we know through redemption, through salvation, that the Holy Spirit is here, given us of God himself. Then I know for a fact that God abides. And remember what that word abides. Go back to John 15. You remember what that word abide means to. Latched on to. Gaining life from, abiding. And this leads us to loving one another. As I've said many times, we can say I love you, you can say I love you, but until it's acted upon, you really don't know. We can compare it to the wind. You can't see the wind. And out here, the wind blows all the time. And you can see its effects. I can't see the wind, but the evidence of that wind takes down tree limbs out here all the time. I see the evidence. All right? Loving is the same thing. You can't see love, but you can see its effects. You can see its effects. You can see its evidence. And again, this is a sign of the Holy Spirit in your life. And this shows that God has given you of His Spirit. But there's another evidence that John has given us here. We know that God abides in us and we in Him when we confess the truth about Jesus Christ. Go back to chapter 4, verse 2. Let's just go back to verse 2 of chapter 4. Verse 2 of chapter 4. John writes, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." So this testimony of truth that John has given us as an evidence of our salvation is that we confess the truth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And remember 3 weeks ago when we spoke about that coming in the flesh is fully loaded with all of what Jesus has done. That Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the eternal begotten Son of God, who came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross, resurrected on the third day, now sits at the right hand of the Father. That's the truth that we are confessing, and that He is the only way of salvation. That He is the only way, means of salvation. So when John says that you must confess the truth of Jesus Christ, profess the truth of Jesus Christ, all of that's involved. The completeness of the work and the meaning of the work that Jesus Christ did and is doing. Not parts, not pieces. There's no other way by which you can see the Father except through and by me. As Jesus said. Verse 14. John writes, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world." John says, "We have seen and testify." That's the reason John can be an apostle. He walked with and saw Jesus Christ. The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and here, John, reported to us their eyewitness account. They reported to us their eyewitness account of living with Jesus Christ for those 3 years. The gospel itself is rooted in history. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior. Jesus did not become the Son of God at the incarnation, that some profess. He is eternally God. He is eternally the Son of God, and He came to this earth because the Father sent Him. And our faith is built on that solid historical account. Now, the historical account, it's not complete. As John himself said, I wish I had the books. If all the books could contain what Jesus Christ has done, they would be so numerous. But what history we do have is true history. It's just not complete history. But see, here's the thing. I believe John. I believe this word to be true. But I wasn't there. I haven't seen Jesus. So I accept and believe this word by faith. And that faith, if we go to Paul's writings, that faith was given to me as a gift from God when the Holy Spirit came. And so I can believe and understand what is given to us here in Holy Scripture. And so I confess, I hope you do as well, the same truths John is confessing. Which again confirms my assurance in the gift of salvation. With the Spirit being in me, redeeming me, I can and do confess the truth. So again, an evidence of the Holy Spirit, an evidence of assurance. And so verse 15 is also true for the believer. Whoever confesses this truth about Jesus, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Do you make that confession? John's point here is simple. If you confess that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who saves you from your sin, you didn't come up with this idea by yourself. The Spirit of God opened your eyes to it, meaning the Holy Spirit is there, meaning the Spirit of God is there, meaning that assurance is something you can know. The Spirit led you to this belief. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16:13. Very important passage. Incredible piece of work here. Matthew 16:13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona." And here's the point. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The Holy Spirit gave Peter this knowledge, and he professed the truth about Jesus. Peter could not come to this knowledge on his own. He had spent about 2.5 years with Jesus about this time, give or take. And so he saw Jesus work, et cetera, et cetera. But to come to understand and make that statement, "You are the Christ, the Anointed One. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the Holy Spirit speaking that truth through Peter. When you make the profession, as Peter made here, as you make the profession that Jesus Christ is the Son, the eternal Son of God, then that is the Holy Spirit giving you that knowledge when he redeemed you, and therefore assurance is yours. And then this is confirmed in verse 16 of 1 John 4. 1 John 4:16. Given all this, John now says, "So, we have come to know." And remember that word "know," very intimate, very ingrained word. "We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him." This is the evidence as we are speaking of. This is the evidence that God is there, the abiding, the latched on to, the grappling, if you will, never to let go. Assurance that we as Christians should, I'll go so far to say must have. Now please understand, this is not a blind leap in the dark. It is based on knowledge. It is based on John and the apostles and what they've come to know, what they came to know, and how they are telling that to us. And the Holy Spirit has preserved this word word down through the ages so that you can have it in your hands today. And so we believe and we profess. To me, personally, coming to understand, coming to know the assurance of salvation. When I came into the Reformed Church back in 1993, coming to this knowledge was one of the things God used that changed my entire world. 4 years later, I was in seminary. Coming to this knowledge is the thing God used to change my world. To know that God loves me, even me. That God loves me. And before the creation of the world, He predestined me, called me out by name, and said, on that summer day in June 1980, I think it was, I'm going to reveal to him the Holy Spirit, and he's mine. Paul writes in 2 Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I pray with everything in me that every one of you in this room can say exactly what Paul has said here. I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And if you have that redeeming presence of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of God himself, then you can. You can make that statement. John says, by this we know. By this we know. It's not by this I think. By this I think so. No, no. By this I know. Where I will spend eternity. I pray all of you do as well. Amen.